The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, this is Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
And I am Lippo.
And I am Big JD.
What's going on, Big JD?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. What's the show about today?
We're going to be talking about hobbies.
Crazy hobbies.
Like podcasting.
Oh, that's a hobby. I wonder if there's a song for that.
A hobby song or a podcasting song?
A podcasting song.
I'm going to guess that, what's his name? Jonathan.
Winters.
Not Jonathan Winters. Jonathan
Livingston
Cole.
Seagull. No?
No. Jonathan Colton is his name. He writes songs about all kinds of techie stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't heard anything from him lately, but I remember when the podcasting thing started to take off back in the 2005, 2006 era. He was, a lot of his music got played on a lot of podcasts. Obviously, he saw an opportunity and he snagged it, wrote songs about, you know, his computers and chips and CEOs of tech companies, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. He was right there in the right place at the right time, but there was no money in podcasting back then, and look at us today. We're just rolling in the dough.
We'll accept advertising, though.
We will accept advertising?
We would.
Like from who? Like from...
Advertisers.
Like Naughty But Nice or The
Naughty
Milk.
Naughty But Nice?
What is the... There's a store in Windsor here that sells... It's an adult store. You know, they sell vibrators and...
What's a vibrator?
Edible panties.
What are edible panties? That's a whole other show, I think. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about edible panties. Editable. You can change the size. You can change the color.
Get rid of the part in front.
Edible panties. So
anyway,
yeah, we're doing a show on hobbies. We might talk about some regular hobbies, but I mean, we'll talk about some strange, odd, crazy hobbies as well today on the show. And first, news. So, yeah, just to follow up about the Trump thing and his wall and the ongoing saga that's leaving U.S. government workers without pay.
800,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Donald Trump stalked out of a meeting with congressional leaders on Wednesday as efforts to end the almost 19-day partial government shutdown fell into deeper disarray over his demand for billions of dollars to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. And hundreds of thousands of federal workers won't receive paychecks on Friday, which is like the day after this drops. The brief session in the White House Situation Room ended almost as soon as it began, and Trump immediately tweeted, he just left a meeting with Chuck and Nancy, a total waste of time.
Chuck and Nancy, yeah, do they have a morning show too?
It sounds like one, eh? And he says, I asked what's going to happen in 30 days if I quickly open things up. Are you going to approve border security, which includes his wall or steel barrier? Nancy said, no. I said, bye-bye. Nothing else works. And that's, I'm sure, exactly what he said in there. Bye-bye. That sounds like him. You know what I mean? His lingo.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
And he's also doubling down on claims that Mexico is going to be paying for the wall. However, he's trying to sort of back out like a politician, which he doesn't do very well as far as being a politician. But he says, I never meant they're going to write out a check. Trump reiterated his claim that Mexico is paying for the wall via the new unratified Canada-U.S.-Mexico Trade Agreement, otherwise known as CUSMA. CUSMA face. while speaking to reporters at the White House before visiting the Texas border town of McAllen.
It's fun for us to watch what unfolds.
It's like situation. A crazy story.
It's going to be a hobby. And another piece of news that I had here was police collecting DNA from a Phoenix care staff after a woman in a vegetative state gives birth. It's insane. So police served a search warrant to get DNA from all male employees at the Hacienda, where a patient who had been in a vegetative state for years gave birth, triggering reviews by state agencies and putting a spotlight on safety concerns for patients who are severely disabled or incapacitated. Hacienda Healthcare said it welcomed the DNA testing of employees, and they'll continue to cooperate with Phoenix police and all other investigative agencies to uncover the facts in this deeply disturbing but unprecedented situation.
Isn't that nuts? That is nuts. Imagine being the family of this poor woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's their grandmother or their aunt, you know, and all of a sudden they find out she's pregnant. Oh, my God.
Well, a lawyer for the family released a statement on Tuesday saying the family was outraged at the neglect of their daughter, and they asked for privacy. If I recall correctly here, she almost drowned. That's why she's like in this vegetative state, and she has been for years.
That's a bummer. Yeah, there's a lot of people in that situation. Some crazy thing can wreck your life. I have a story. You know that CES is going on right now, right?
Yeah.
Consumer electronic something show.
Yeah.
I don't think it's show. But anyway, my friend Dave Hamilton is there, along with a lot of other folks. Allison Sheridan, her husband there, Chuck Joyner, which you've worked with these people before on iChart Radio. He's there, and he went to a party last night where it was at the Hard Rock in Vegas.
Yep.
And it was held by Harman, JBL, and Samsung. Mm-hmm. So those folks have a few dollars. So they had the Foo Fighters play at the party.
Yep, great.
And I was going over some news stories, and one of the stories I see is Dave Grohl falls off stage, first gig of 2019, and it turns out it was this party that my buddy Dave went to last night. The person who got the video of it was relatively close to them, like within 20 feet, I'm going to say. He went off to the side of the stage, grabbed a beer from a guy, put it on a JBL speaker. He tried to drink it while holding his guitar, like, you know, just using his mouth, spills his beer all over the speaker. And it still cranks out, though, so maybe that's a good endorsement for JBL speakers. They are the best, I think, for live sound. And then he goes and gets back on stage. And just as he hops back up, he loses his balance and falls off the stage. He fell down. And I don't know if you guys remember, was it last year? No, it was the year before that. He broke his leg, but he still did a bunch of shows with a cast on, and he sat in a chair and rocked out. Do you remember that?
I think I might have seen something on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he was the first one to do it, and then Axl Rose did something very similar, played gigs with a cast on his legs while sitting down. But
so did David Lee Roth. There's pictures of him on the second Van Halen album cover with a cast on his leg, I believe it is.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's his leg or his arm. Maybe it's his arm.
All right.
But CES, of course, is the International Consumer Electronics Show. World's gathering place for all those who thrive on the business of consumer technologies.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
I think to kick things off before we get started, well, there's a lot of people that collect guitars.
Sure,
us included.
Yeah, I stopped buying guitars a while ago.
I guess it's been a little while since I bought a guitar, but we have collected and have a collection of guitars. So this is Van Halen's Little Guitars.
We'll be right back.
Van Halen, Little Guitars, and let's talk about some of the unusual, crazy hobbies that people do. And I'll kick this off with tree shaping.
That's pretty
kind of
nuts.
A wild hobby there. You train living trees and other woody plants into artistic shapes or useful structures. Kind of odd.
Right. I'm not exactly sure how we shape a tree. Do we tie branches down a certain way and just watch them grow in that way, and then they start growing another way, and you tie them back another way? Just tying is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it works. Shaping them as far as like kind of carving them as they grow, maybe. I think tying them or doing something to alter the branches and things like that of a tree or whatever would work well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're,
I think so.
Shaping a tree.
So did you go on YouTube and look at some beetle fighting videos?
That's what led to their demise. Oh, beetles.
Everybody was the beetle fight. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what led to their demise. They fought over Yoko.
I'd sit and watch beetles fighting.
It's kind of mesmerizing, I guess. From what I understand, they breed them in to be particularly wanting to fight, I guess, is the best way to.
And how in the world do you breed them to want to fight?
There's enzymes in them or chromosomes or I don't know. There's something in them. It's the same as breeding dogs. Like, you know, they breed certain dogs to be gnarly like.
What about extreme ironing? Great for the wives.
I've heard about this. This is one of the most bizarre ones that I've read in researching today's show. I've seen people doing it on surfboards, doing it on a raft, doing it on the side of a mountain. It's crazy.
Yeah. Extreme ironing. They call it EI, ironing clothes under usually extreme conditions or situations.
Extraterrestrial intelligence is what I thought EI stood for. Employment insurance.
There's a hobby for some people going on EI every year. What about suing?
Suing, yeah. Some people, especially this one guy who's part of the story, Jonathan Lee Richies, has made it into the Guinness World Book of Records for the amount of people companies. He filed lawsuits against the New York Patriots, the coach, Bill Belichick, former President George W. Bush, which I'm sure a lot of people would have liked to have sued him. I'm sure he probably did get sued a lot. Somali Pirates, that must have been a tough one to get any money out of those guys. Britney Spears and Martha Stewart.
Best thing of all, he gets into the Guinness Book of World Records, and what does he do? He sues the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, you got to do that, obviously.
Of course.
You got to follow it up. He's also sued people that are dead, like Plato and Nostradamus and James Hoffa and Buddhist monks. Did he get any money out of it? We don't know.
Highly unlikely. He's in prison anyway, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's in prison.
Okay.
He's not even a free man. How about toy voyaging? It's kind of weird. And toy voyaging is where if you've seen pictures of people bring their toys on vacation and they take pictures of the toy, like with the Eiffel Tower or the CN Tower or the Mount Rushmore or whatever, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, the people send their toys, or usually it's stuffed animals, out on a vacation. And because obviously it's a way cheaper to send a toy somewhere, especially if there's a network of other toy voyagers out there. And you can visit toyvoyagers.com yourself and send your toy on a voyage to China or India or wherever you want to send them, and get photos back of your toy enjoying himself or herself or itself.
And speaking of China and all the tea in China, a lot of people, a hobby for them is drinking tea or coffee.
Yes. That's true. I know a friend of mine, well, not a friend of mine, but a guy who I've met once before, Kevin Rose. He went on a tea journey to China.
Wow.
And he goes to these far mountain communities where they have 100-year-old teas that they've been keeping. And obviously, some of them are psychoactive.
We have a song that's related.
Well, it's Black Coffee by Humble Pie. Steve Marriott, one of the greatest rock and roll artists out there, an amazing musician, amazing voice, amazing soul. Too bad he was taken too young. This is Humble Pie doing Black Coffee.
Black Coffee is my name. Black Coffee, black coffee. Not a thing. Black Coffee, freshly ground and fully packed. Coffee. Coffee. Well, that's where
And we're back. What are we talking about today? We're talking about hobbies, crazy hobbies that maybe your friends are doing, maybe your favorite celebrity is doing. But Big JD, what about yourself? Have you ever partaken in any hobbies of yourself besides this podcasting? And of course, we know that you were in the music land, but that was more of an actual job, something you wanted to get into. I'm talking about like stamp collecting or boating or something like that.
Well, I did actually have hobbies. I used to collect matchbooks.
Well, I did that for a badge in Cub Scouts.
For a badge in Cub Scouts, you collected matchbooks?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. So yep, how long were you in Cub Scouts?
Probably about 4 years, I'm going to guess.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was never in that. I always thought it was neat and would have liked to have been in it, or brownies because of those cookies. They wouldn't let me in brownies.
No, because you have to be a female to do that. At least you did back then. Coming from a small town, you basically almost had to be involved in some activities that took place. Playing baseball, you were just expected to play baseball. If you were a boy living in Belle River in the summertime, you would have to be playing baseball. Hmm. Same as going into Cubs. Like you'd have to be into that. Otherwise, you were chastised.
So I collected matchbook covers. My cousin used to do it. And I thought it was really cool. So I started doing that and matched boxes, primarily because we were on vacation all the time. My family, you know, my parents took us on vacation every year. Some were like, we'd travel in the U.S. for 2-3 weeks or whatever. We'd be driving all over the place. So I'd collect these things everywhere. And I was just a kid, you know, I shouldn't even have had matches, but.
Are you lighting those matches, Jeffrey?
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So collecting is obviously a hobby that a lot of people have. Some people take it maybe a little too far. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They run out of space in their living quarters, and then they have to put their collection somewhere else.
And that's another thing, like nostalgic memorabilia, things like that people collect.
Sure.
That's cool stuff. Did you have any hobbies besides your matchbook collection for Cubs?
I don't even want to say that was a hobby. That was just like a... You know, you had to have so many. I forget how many. 50, maybe 50 matchbooks to before you got your badge.
Okay, yeah.
So it was just something that you were working on, basically. But as far as hobbies go, when I was a kid, I don't know, probably did, but it's not sticking with me as far as what it was.
Well, a lot of people take photographs, pictures for, you know, as a hobby, or possibly collect pictures or do things with pictures, like scrapbooking and whatnot. And this is The Cure, Pictures of You. and we're back. We're talking about crazy hobbies, unusual hobbies, a little bit about regular hobbies, but what about soap carving? That sounds like fun. I ate many bars of soap when I was a kid.
Is that because you were swearing?
Oh, yeah. This soap carving hobby sees anybody taking a regular bar of soap and carving it into a work of art. And this hobby is no joke and needs a certain set of tools and techniques. Beginners start by carving fruit and then move on to carving soap.
Yeah, and there's some actually beautiful. It's like a work of art. It's like sculpting anything, like, you know.
Well, I think how are you going to start with fruit first? I mean, fruit's a lot harder to carve than it. I mean, you take a grapefruit and peel it, and then you're going to carve it?
No, grapefruit's not going to work. It has to be some kind of like an apple or a potato.
An apple or a melons are okay for that.
Melons. I love melons.
Save it for the nice and naughty show or whatever the heck it was you were talking about earlier.
Another crazy hobby that at least I thought it was crazy was the whole competitive, the dog shows.
I used to work at those.
People are like super anal about every little thing.
There's another
about
beep.
This dog. You can't say anal. Yes, you can.
Yeah. In that context, you can.
Yes, it's just these poor animals that are subjected to.
I don't know that they're poor animals. They treat them pretty. I mean, they're not beaten or anything. I think it's.
No. I think it's just what's expected of them. And they are pampered to a point where they're just like they're like little babies.
I think they love it.
Do you slurp? You're a slurper.
It's a medical condition. It's okay. This is one of my favorites of all, naval fluff collecting.
Oh, I love it. I wish I would have thought of this myself because I've had it forever.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, but I could probably pull out a golf ball's worth of fluff out of my navel in a week for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Imagine if I collected and just kept them in jars. This one guy here, Graham Barker. Sounds like a dude who's singing in a band, but he has done it for over 20 years and he's placed them carefully and marked them and dated them and used the Dewey Decimal System to catalog them. And it's gross. I don't get why some people do the things they do, but I guess it passes the time and it focuses your mind on something. Why else do you think folks have hobbies, Big JD? Because I know there's a lot of people who, especially that I work with, they go home and they just, you know, their hobby is keeping track of sports.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or fantasy sports is a big hobby.
Exactly.
I think having a hobby is great for people. I think everybody should honestly have some type of a hobby because
I agree.
I think it's a great stress release. It, you know, keeps your mind off of other things that may stress you and things like that. And I just think overall for health purposes that a hobby can be fun.
Absolutely. We're back, and today we're talking about hobbies on Big JD and Lipo in the morning. One hobby that I know some women have who have some women like to, and even guys, there's some guys who have an affinity for going to the mall or some shopping district, and they just like going shopping. They like looking at stuff and occasionally buying stuff.
Lipo and I go shopping occasionally.
Occasionally we do, yeah. We don't make a hobby out of it, but we do go shopping for certain things, music stores and Micro Center or an Apple store or something like that. Mm-hmm. So shopping is definitely a hobby for some people. And on that note, here's a song by the great, late great Albert Collins called Master Charge.
My wife has a charge card that I got it in the other day. I owe $500. Just for yesterday. I said, honey, here's a present.
go out and shop around, get a couple of dresses, and browse around downtown. She did just what I told her, bought one, two, or three, then came home looking silly, making goo-goo eyes at me. Master Charge, Master Charge, a bag of milk. Master Charge, Master Charge, a bag of milk. Master Charge, Master Charge, a bag of milk. I said, did you get your dresses? She said, yes, one or two. But I had to get me some shoes, and I needed some jewelry too. She had $200 dresses that I could have made and I can't sew. $50 pair of shoes, and I thought you wore so-and-so. Said, what about the jewelry? As calmly as I could. She said, honey, you'll love them. They're pure African wood. Master Charge, Master Charge, a bag of milk. Master Charge, Master Charge, a bag of milk. Master Charge, so Master Charge knows the thing. A bag of milk. Let's charge it. Let's charge it. Let's charge it. Master charge. Oh, I have a master charge. Oh, I have a Bank of America card too. Master charge. Oh, would you mind charging, please?
Now, look, you're getting too much of it now. You're too much charging.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, and we're talking about strange and crazy, wild hobbies and a little bit about regular hobbies. And these are some of the hobbies that people have listed on their CVs. So, you know, when you get down to the bottom of your resume and people actually list hobbies or other interests and things like that. So these are things that have actually been on people's CVs. One, honestly, I like doing nothing.
See, yeah, those people, I don't understand. I don't get it. Sorry.
Another one, I'm a very sensual person. I like sex. Painting my toenails? Who puts that on a CV?
People who don't want to get hired, Big JD.
Witchcraft? Which is fine. I got nothing against witchcraft, but I mean, putting it on your CV is, you know, unless you're putting a resume in to be a warlock or whatever the case is.
Oh, that reminds me of another interesting hobby is Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah. That's I think it's probably still a big thing, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's actually had a bit of a revival.
I never really got it. I never did it. Don't really know that much about it, except that it just always seemed like weird to me.
You really had to use your imagination, right? And you always had to be somewhat anal about the rules of the game, as it were. But you could go on for like a whole day and play Dungeons and Dragons. There's a fellow acquaintance that we both know, Paul Shaw. I know he was into quite a bit before he got married. And now that his kids are a little bit older, I know he told his wife that he's going to be going visiting a friend of his up the 401. And they're going to have a day of Dungeons and Dragons. A guy's almost 50 years old. And he's into fantasy, and it doesn't involve any technology at all. Mm-hmm. It's all paper and pen and conversations.
Yeah, pretty wild.
It is.
Some more things that are on CVs. Collecting firearms, that's going to get you a job. Snake skin collecting, odd. Arguing with people online, great. Let's hire him so he argues with everybody on the staff. Streaking, work. That's the guy you want.
That's the
guy whose hobby
want.
Is work. That's the guy I'd hire. Stalking celebrities, taking surveys, entering food eating competition, ferret racing, being awesome. Who puts that on a... Handcuff collecting, sleeping, is that a hobby? That's not a hobby. I think some people are confused about what hobbies are.
I agree 100% that some people are confused about what a hobby is. They don't understand what and a lot of them could be folks with, you know, social skills that are lacking because they had a hobby that took them right out of the social realm.
Netflix and chill.
Netflix chill. That's a hobby, I guess.
It's a hobby now because of binge watching, I think. You know, it could be sort of deemed a hobby. And another hobby for a lot of people is hunting.
Yes, that is. For some folks, that is a hobby. And some
sport.
People, it's somewhat sportsy. And it's also a way of sustaining life. A lot of people are into hunting just for the sake of eating the food that they hunt.
Fitting in with that is an old Dokken tune, which I always thought was probably the coolest Dokken tune, The Hunter.
To the sky, and I feel
All right, we're back. We're talking about strange, unique, odd hobbies. And I wanted to talk a little bit about celebrity or rock star hobbies.
Okay.
Astrophysics. Guitarist Brian May from the band Queen held degrees in physics and mathematics and was well on his way toward his physics doctorate when his band Queen's popularity first exploded. Always retained his keen passion for astronomy, though, and in 2006, after a 30-year break, he returned to astrophysics and his doctoral thesis. And upon submission of his updated thesis on the motions of interplanetary dust, he received his full PhD degree from Imperial College in London in 2007 after he co-authored his first book, Bang, The Complete History of the Universe.
I wonder why he didn't write a song called Motions of Interplanetary Dust. You'd wonder why he didn't, if he was so into it, so knowledgeable about it, he never really wrote, you know, spacey songs. They weren't spacey at all. They were fantasy for the most part, the tunes that he wrote. I'm just curious why we didn't see some more, that astronomy-based songs. Whereas, you know, I'm just thinking of somebody like Neil Peart who wrote, you know, he read constantly and wrote oftentimes from the stories that he read about.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Steve Vai, in his spare time, is a beekeeper and an honorary member of the British Beekeepers Association. And he got into it by chance. For some reason, a bunch of bees decided to live in the wall of his neighbor's house. His neighbor wasn't happy as a result. His wife's garden looked fantastic. When his family moved, he decided to plant trees and found out honeybees were the best way to pollinate them. So he got his first swarm.
I'm a big fan of Jeff Beck, a rock star to me anyway. And one of his... I'm trying to think of the name of the album, Guitar Shop. The album cover had him in a garage with a guitar up on a hoist. So there was that correlation between cars and guitars. And he's always been that kind of guy. He always, when he wasn't jamming out, he was always working on a car or something. That was his passion, was cars for sure. Roger Taylor was the same way because he wrote a song called I'm in Love with My Car.
The machine of a dream. Such a clean machine. With the pistons a pumping. And the hubcaps all green.
Slack
Okay, that was I'm in Love with My Car from Queen. That's Roger Taylor singing that. He had an awesome voice, that guy. I always loved the tunes he did with Queen. I mean, I know the Bohemian Rhapsody is a huge film, and it's all about Freddie. But Roger Taylor, I want to say he's unsung, but he's definitely a star in my brain, I guess. And we were just talking about Brian May and astronomy. It's Queen land over here. The next hobby that a rock star, that another guy who I love, is Geddy Lee. We're just talking about Neil Peart. Geddy Lee, who's also in the band Rush, or was in the band Rush. He also just came out with a book called The Big Book, Geddy Lee's Big Book of Basses. Did you hear about that, Big JD?
I did. I do have the book.
You have the book?
Yes, very cool.
I mean, I just seen an interview that he did with CBC's Q. Oh, I forget the DJ there. Anyway, he's also a hobbyist of sorts, and when he's not writing books or playing bass, he is very well known as a baseball fan. He loves the game itself, and he's a fan of one of the Major League Baseball teams. Of course, the team is the Toronto Blue Jays, and the reason that's so well known because he has a season seat behind a home plate, so a lot of people see him when the games are televised. And I think that became even more apparent once the team had made the playoffs there. I forget when that was, 4 or 5 years ago. Right. He's a big baseball fan for sure. And he has been a longtime baseball memorabilia collector since a friend first presented him with a case of team autographed baseballs.
That's a memorabilian, they call it.
He's a memorabilian?
Yeah.
Heir? A memorabilianaire.
Ooh. Is he a billionaire, you think? No.
No. He's probably got hundreds of millions of dollars, but I don't think he's a billionaire.
Wow, that must be nice.
It must be nice, yeah. In the documentary Rush Beyond the Lighted Stage, Lee explains how his love of baseball grew as a way of letting off steam. He found himself watching a lot of baseball in hotel rooms between gigs because Neil Peart just weren't digging the chicks for some reason. And from there, he began to amass an impressive collection of baseball memorabilia. His museum quality collection includes prized baseball signed by Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Christy Mathewson, never heard of him, Honus Wagner, Cy Young, among others. And in 2008, he donated his collection of almost 200 autographed Negro League baseballs to the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City. He's also an avid wine, yay, art, and monocle collector.
Wow.
Have you ever known a monocle collector, Big Daddy? I don't even know the last person I could think of who wore a monocle besides Captain. Was it Captain Clink or Sergeant Clink? No, it was Captain Clink.
How different can any monocles be?
Good question. Are there square monocles? That'd probably hurt in your eyeball, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
I sock it.
We'll continue on with these rock star hobbies. Eric Clapton, Roger Daltrey, Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, Megadeth, Dave Mustaine. First, the Misfits, Skulls.
Oh,
we're back. Golfaholic Alice Cooper, known as the godfather of shock rock, put down the bottle years ago and picked up a 9-iron. Hasn't put it down since.
It's hard to get off the tee off with a 9-iron unless it's a par 3, but that's okay.
You'd know. Did you read? Lippo's an avid golfer.
I am, and I did read his book, Golf Monster, A Rock and Roller's 12 Steps to Becoming a Golf Addict.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's his story, actually. I didn't actually even read the book. It was an audiobook, and he read the book himself, which is
cool. That's cool. I like when they do that, yeah. I like the one Paul Stanley does, too.
I have not read Paul's or listened to Paul Stanley's book, but I'm sure that's cool.
Also, Rush's Alex Lifeson is an avid golfer, and Judas Priest's K.K. Downing. Flying, Bruce Dickinson, Iron Maiden frontman Bruce Dickinson has his pilot's license and flies. Dave Mustaine, he's explored many hobbies over the years, including horse breeding and skydiving.
That's a good hobby.
Model trains, Neil Young.
I believe that. Sure, I can see that. That is the kind of hobby that kind of settles you down, sort of, you know.
You know who else was a collector of model trains? Rod Stewart is an avid model train collector, as was the late Randy Rhodes.
Hmm.
If you can believe that.
I can believe that, yeah. Randy was, he didn't fit the rock star mold. He wasn't into the chicks and the drugs and the drinking and all that. It was something he was very passionate about, the music itself, for sure. And you could tell just by the stuff that he wrote and the way that he played, he was amazing.
We're coming to a close here on the show, so we'll just throw a few more at you. Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam frontman there, a surfer, as well as Kirk Hammett and Metallica bandmate Robert, how do you say his name?
Trujillo, yeah.
right. Avid surfers, and Slash, a pinballer, loves pinball. Photography, a Nikki Six.
He fancies himself a DJ as well. Well, he has his own show there on iHeartRadio that's carried by...
Oh, DJ, right. I was thinking of... Yeah, Nikki Sixx is pretty good. I watch interviews with him, interviewing people. I just watched one with him interviewing Joe Bonamassa recently, like 2 days ago. Paul Stanley, a painter. He paints. He likes very to paint nice pictures.
So does Ron Wood.
Oh, yeah?
Ron Wood's an accomplished artist as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week's show. Next week, we're going to be talking about a very all-encompassing type of subject, and we're going to be talking about time, how it affects you, how you maybe manage your time, how time has played a part in your life, and how people perceive time. All this, and so much more. On next week's episode, a big JD and Lippo in the morning. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
Jonathan Lee Richie's has made it into the Guinness World Book of Records for the amount of people he, or in companies, as far as that goes.
What did you say, Guinness World Book of Records, or did you say Guinness Book of World Records?
I said Guinness Book of World Records. The Guinness World Book of Records, 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 the Guinness World Book of Records.